Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Joyful, joyful.
You're in the Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9 with the
Priest,
the Pom,
and the Poof.
This is the show where we talk about spirituality and sexuality for our community.
SMS 0427 Joy 949. Our line is open for your feedback.
Good evening and welcome to Spirit Lounge. Yes, folks, this is the Priest. And she's back!
The Pom's back from Pommy Land. Hello.
And Greasy Land and other lands.
And Greasy Land. Super cheap Greasy Land, I might add.
And you arrive back and the Poof nicks off?
Yeah, the Poof, he's been kidnapped by the Chinese.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Is he in the Olympics rowing for them or something?
Well, they've got enough bleeding medals. They don't need him, do they?
No, that's true. The Poms might need him, but not the... I think Australia actually needs him, really.
Actually, they do, don't they?
Yeah, doing so well.
Now, the sporting nation, what's happening? What's going on?
I don't know. It's barracking for New Zealand.
Yeah, there's no point in asking you. We've got a Scot and a Kiwi sitting in the studio. Mr. Panellist. Oh, now, we haven't mentioned Peter.
No, we've got Peter the Panellist with us tonight. Welcome, Peter, back to Spirit Lounge.
Thank you for having me. It's been ages.
It's been too long. Now, what's going on with the sporting nation and the medals then? What do you reckon?
Silver lining for Melbourne, for Australia.
Good answer. Yeah, they like their silver. And in fact, what is making me laugh a little bit is that the Australians are kind of, they're crying. They're kind of breaking down into floods of tears because they've only got silver. Hello, you are the second best in the world at your discipline in sport. I mean, get real. It's okay.
No, it's not. It's going to be gold.
You see, that's too American for me. Sorry.
Two gold now.
There is life after gold.
And apparently we have going to get a third one tonight because apparently like, they don't even have to start. And they've won it. So it doesn't matter if they sink because they still won the gold medal.
Well, I watched the sailing and he did really well. He did really well. That was excellent. But it's lovely and gorgeous to be back.
Oh, it's lovely to have you back. And thank you very much to Lisa who filled in while you're away. But she was sick last week and couldn't be here.
Well,
so a big love out to Lisa and, well, Lindsay, sorry.
I was going to say, who's Lisa?
Well, she's on the show tonight. I'm getting confused.
Yeah, but she's in San Francisco.
Well, yes, but she's on the show, so she's in San Francisco. We are actually, well, you and Andrew spoke to Lisa and Jenny from Out and Around.
We did.
For the final time.
And they're back home.
Yeah, so yeah. We're going to hear from them tonight. But the first track is coming up and... Bertie, introduce.
Well, I'd like to introduce this. It's by Rihanna, who we all love. And I've been in Pommy Land for a while now and my home, and I do miss it. And so this song is for all my mates in Pommy Land, some of whom do listen, believe it or not, because it's Tuesday morning over there. And this is Rihanna, A Million Mile Away. Miles away, even.
Joy 94.9.
And you're on Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9. And you're with the Priest and the Pom. And hello to Mr. Poof if you are able to listen to us. Hello also to our listener from South Yarra. Now, I want to know, as does the South Yarra, about the people you met in Greece, Bertie. Tell us all. Are they gorgeous? Are they... What went on in Greece?
Well, our lady in Greece is asking, how are the beautiful women in Greece? They are as beautiful as ever. And Greece, you know, I sent this Facebook message out when we were there, because we have a home there, and I sent this Facebook message out to all our friends, certainly in Northern Europe, saying, for God's sake, get your bums over there and have a holiday. It is so cheap, it's unbelievable. Prices have dropped, you know. Tourism is still keeping the place going. The islands are okay. The mainland, of course, is not. Because most of the tourists go to the islands or certainly the mainland coast. And it's still as beautiful as ever. It's absolutely gorgeous. And we got great value for money. And yes, to answer your question, Mrs. Southyara, yes, the Greek women are still gorgeous. But I do find them a little hairy, darling.
Oh, okay. Is there still a bit of political unrest, though, in the mainland of Greece?
Yeah, Athens, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and they show footage of Athens and everyone thinks that endemic around the whole country. It's not. It's limited to, you know, certain districts, normally the very centre of Athens.
Now, you celebrated an event when you were away.
Cheeky bugger, I didn't think you were going to mention that.
You turned 20, didn't you?
Don't you think I'm looking younger?
Yes. Did you have surgery, darling?
Now, you know, you can really go off, people.
That was very quick. What, lasted 10 minutes?
You can really... I think, can I just go now, please?
You yes. celebrated a birthday.
There is no hiding the fact that I had my half century, and I have to say, I threw a party in the centre of London, and it was probably one of the best...
Was that the opening ceremony of the cage, or the Queen? Parade or something, was it?
Yes, I was on that flotilla in the pouring rain. I was on my horse-drawn carriage down the Mall. No, I went low-key this time, and just a quiet, discreet little nightclub in just north of Oxford Street, and a little small party for a few friends, and it was probably one of the best nights of my life. It was absolutely gorgeous to be home and to see all my friends and family, and it was one of the happiest nights of my life. It was fabulous. And of course, your new best friend.
Which one?
Since you chucked KD.
Oh, no, I still love KD too.
Your new best friend, Horse, came and performed at the party.
Oh, fabulous.
So, Horse, if you're listening, thank you again, because that was awesome and it blew everyone. I kept it a complete secret, so none of my friends were expecting it at all. And then at the end of my very small speech, because I'd had very lots of champagne by then, I introduced Horse, and one of my friends, Deirdre, came up and said, Bertie, is that... The horse, the real horse.
No, it's an imitation.
I said, yes, darling, it is the one and only. So she just kind of melted at that point and went all goo goo gaga at the front, you know. But it was a fabulous night. It was great. Thank you.
Oh, that's
fabulous.
Was
super.
So what else did you get up to that we should know about?
Oh, you know, just help the Queen celebrate her jubilee.
Now, did you sort of turn out for anything to have a look at anything of that?
No, well, that was a little tricky because we were in Greece on that weekend, which was just as well because it was pissing with rain in London as usual. No, we waved our Union Jacks in Greece and helped her celebrate from afar with, you know, ouzo in one hand. And
did you watch that parade down the river?
Yeah, the flotilla.
Boat went past and a boat went past.
I know. Well, it was,
oh, no. It was a little much, really.
So wet they could have just sort of sailed down the Mall, really, couldn't they? It was so wet. But, I felt sorry for... And obviously the Duke of Edinburgh got... it wasn't a... What's the infection, was it? He probably got pneumonia being out there.
Yeah, I would think so.
Poor bugger. And Kate Middleton, you know, at one point the commentator said, oh, Kate Middleton's just popped down to put a coat on. She came back with this like skimpy little scarf on, so she was still wearing next to nothing, absolutely freezing. Awful day weather-wise, lovely day in terms of patriotism and pride in the UK. And I have to say, the vibe and the atmosphere was amazing. I hadn't been back for 2 years, spent a lot of time in central London before we travelled, and the vibe was just wonderful. It was just really positive, and I think that was the beginning of the build-up to the Olympics, definitely. And, you know, stiff upper lip and all that, the Brits won't be put off by a little drop of rain here and there. And
well, no, they're not in the Olympics, are they?
I saw
them
not.
Running the marathon, dripping wet. And
in wellies. Yeah.
one of the teams turned out at the opening ceremony with wellies on.
That's
didn't
right.
They?
Yes, they did. I can't remember who it was.
I can't remember what team that was.
Yeah, no, they had designer wellies. Yeah.
I thought that was absolutely fabulous.
They'd obviously believed someone's story about London.
Okay, Bertie, well, it's wonderful to have you back.
Thank you. I've missed you guys, and it's super to be back too. And we are now going to hook up with two of our other favourite friends. I think they're friends of the Spirit Lounge, aren't they?
Do you think they know Horse? We could introduce them because she's our favourite friend.
We could introduce them. And they were very sweet when we interviewed them. Andrew and I interviewed them on Friday, and they said, Joy, Spirit Lounge, you're our number one fan, which is just so sweet. So if you've been following the story, we are joining for possibly one last time for a while, Jenny and Lisa from San Francisco. Here we go.
Hi, this is Katie Lang, and you're listening to Australia's first and only lesbian and gay radio station, Joy 94.9.
You're on the Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9, and we are joining once again our amazing travellers, Jenny and Lisa, who are from San Francisco, and they took a year out from their normal routine and embarked on a year-long trip through 15 of the developing countries across Asia, Africa and South America. Their mission was to find the super gays, people who are creating change for the LGBTI community in areas of the world where it's still outlawed or unaccepted by society, and in some cases, both. Their project's called Out and Around, Stories of a Not-So-Straight Journey. Their interviews with these extraordinary people and their stories are all recorded on their website. We've been following Jenny and Lisa throughout their journey. We last spoke to them back in April when they were on the final leg of their journey in South America. So, girls, how are you and how does it feel to be home?
It feels great to be home. Great to be out of a backpack, and you know, we're two lesbians who never did the U-Haul in all the 4 years we've been together. So it's actually been fun, just setting up a home and feeling a little settled.
Oh, that's amazing. And I know you had a huge welcome home party, which we can talk about in a minute. Now, back in April, we were talking to you, and I think you'd just got to South America. So I've been following your stories since May. Now, I was fascinated by this guy you met in Rio, Jean Willis, who is an openly gay journalist who actually won the Brazilian equivalent of Big Brother, and is now not only a TV celebrity, but also gone into Parliament as a congressman. What an inspirational story. How effective do you think he can be in trying to change the current attitude towards the gay community in Brazil?
Yeah, I mean, I really think he's been the most influential gay person in Brazil. From being on TV and having millions of people vote him on Big Brother, he was really someone who got into the living room of most Brazilians, as it was a show that was quite popular and followed. So he's one man. He's the only gay person in Congress. And there's quite a strong right side in Congress. So he's up against a lot, but he's putting together media campaigns with his friends who are artists and musicians. And I mean, he's a very hip guy who's going to attract a young crowd and a young following. And that's really the hope for change in Brazil.
Hmm. I mean, he comes across beautifully on your website, and he's obviously broken down so many barriers already.
Yeah, and he's so cute. he's just an adorable guy. And, you know, when these guys win Big Brother, you know, they have a lot of options just in terms of you know, trying to make their own money or their own brand or their own TV show. And he really wanted to just do something for the country, for his community on that level. So he was one of the most inspiring people we met all year.
So you spent 3 weeks in Rio and then you moved on to Argentina. It sounds like you met some pretty awesome people who were all fighting for the gender identity law. That sounds very progressive. Has it been passed?
You know, it did pass a couple of weeks after we left, and it's quite extraordinary. You know, you can actually just fill out one form and have your identity changed on your driver's license and your state ID. So that opens up a whole new opportunity for people who need access to medical care, for people who want to apply for jobs, for people who want to go to school where their identity didn't match their presentation. It's one of the most progressive laws to date.
It's amazing, isn't it? I mean, you must have constantly found this as you traveled around the world. There are kind of random countries in bigger continents which suddenly just kind of take that big quantum leap step and change quite radical laws and they're surrounded by other countries which are still kind of back in the kind of draconian era. It's incredible for Argentina, isn't it? Is there a feeling throughout that country of is it quite liberal anyway throughout Argentina with everything?
Well, I think Argentina, because of the dictatorship and because of their history, I mean, they are people who are ready to riot, ready to go to the streets, ready to campaign for human rights. And so they've had these great leaders, this great leadership, who have really pushed progressive laws and pushed them through courts and have, you know, educated judges. And they've been able to take these big leaps forward. Now, I mean, you know, Argentina is also a Catholic country. Not everyone is on board in the country. You know, there's been big time to implement the laws and create a cultural change. But they're well on their way.
Was there a big backlash from the Catholic Church as an organization?
I'm not totally sure if, like, the Catholic Church, but I do remember that when we asked John what he thought.
That's okay, Jenny. You're obviously still jet lagged, darling.
I'm sure the church, the official church stance on the from the Catholic Church is going to be not supporting it. I don't feel like Chile is a country that has where the Catholic Church has a lot more political power.
Yeah,
and it seems like in Argentina, you know, it hasn't affected the ways that they've been able to implement the laws.
Hi, we're the Tantanas. Keep listening to Joy 94.9.
And you're on the Spirit Lounge with the Priest, the Pom, and Peter, the Pamelist, because we've lost the Puff. He's in China. And we're going to go back to our wonderful interview with Jenny and Lisa in San Francisco from Out and Around.
Now, you used to live in Chile back in 2001. Has it improved much in terms of visibility for the LGBTI community, or are the stories of discrimination and violence still keeping much of the movement underground?
Yeah, Chile, considering that they're next to Argentina and Brazil, has been a very conservative country. In fact, when I was living there, divorce wasn't even, you couldn't even get divorced. Straight people couldn't get a divorce.
Oh, my goodness. And you were there, what, 2001, is that right?
Yeah, I think it passed in 2004. They're not, same-sex marriage is not on the books in Chile, but what they're trying to do right now is, or what they just did was pass an anti-discrimination law. It was sitting in Congress for 7 years and hadn't been passed. And unfortunately, the death of a 24-year-old who was brutally murdered brought the country's attention to acts of violence against LGBT people. And it passed pretty immediately after his death. So when we were there in the town where I lived, they actually had their first pride demonstration. And it was in support of this kid and in support of the anti-discrimination law. So for me personally, it was huge, and for Chileans in general, now they have a law that protects them. So it's that if they come out and work, they can't be fired, so that they can't lose their housing, so that, you know, if someone does an act of violence against them, they will be persecuted, and that's huge. I mean, most of my friends in Chile, even today, are scared to come out and in their workplaces, to their families, because of reprimands. So now they have the backing of laws.
It's just so sad that it took a loss of life to actually make people sit up and listen, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. This kid, he was just an innocent bystander, really. Wasn't even an activist. He just was on his way home.
Yeah, it's so often the case. Now, did you get to Peru after that? Did you do Machu Picchu?
We did. We made it to Peru. We had a lot of amazing ceviche. And, yes, we made it to Machu Picchu, which I have to say is much easier than Kilimanjaro, which we had done earlier.
Well, you didn't like Kilimanjaro too much, did you? I think from memory you had a bit of altitude sickness, didn't you, Jenny?
I did. I had some serious altitude sickness. But, Machu Picchu was fantastic. And then we also spent a week in the jungle, in the Amazon jungle part that's in Peru. So, I mean, that was quite a departure in terms of, like, different climates. So, and we also had a chance to meet this woman in Peru, and she was fascinating. So she is part of the Volvolucion, which is what she does is she has these vulva puppets or vagina puppets, and she uses them to basically do sexual education to women in general, not necessarily, she is a lesbian herself, but just to women in general. And she's put together this amazing book in Spanish. Apparently there's also an English version too, but a book of women and pictures of vulvas and their personal stories about their relationship with themselves and their bodies.
Oh, my God, that sounds absolutely amazing. And is this to encourage the use of contraception, or is this to what's the goal with the book? It sounds amazing.
Yeah, it's really just to break down stereotypes that, you know, the vagina is something that can't be talked about or that's something that's dirty. It's to help women feel comfortable and learn about their body and to see sex in a positive way. So, I mean, she's been out there. She goes to schools. She tries to get into as many presentations as she can. She's often not accepted.
I can imagine. That's phenomenal.
You have to read this story and see our upcoming video, because we meet her. We meet her mother, who also wrote her personal testament in the book.
This is a family occasion by all accounts, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, we went to her house where they had, you know, vulva puppets, vulva rings, vulva earrings.
There's vulvas all over that house.
I mean, we bought a bunch. I would really encourage anyone to buy it. It's a great gift. We just had a great time giving them away.
Well, people just love it. They get a kick out of it. And I think the most amazing part of it is these are all hand sewn. And so we went to go visit the guy who's making them, and he lives in kind of the slums of Peru. He's this handicapped man who is in a wheelchair and sews these with one hand. No joke.
So there's a disabled man who is sewing imitation vulvas.
Yeah. In a slum of Peru with one hand.
In a slum in Peru with one hand. Well, I have to tell you that Andrew is blushing in the studio here.
I am blushing. I must share a little bit about myself. I work in product design, so I'm sitting here going, that's a fantastic idea for a product, and it's got such a great story behind it. That's awesome. We should bring them here to Australia.
we loved it. And it was so funny because this guy who makes it, you know, he gets a lot of flack from the neighbors, and he just told everyone that they're like little hats.
Oh, brilliant. Well, I can't wait to see that story on your website. That's just fabulous. So how was your welcome home party then? Tell us about that.
Yeah, it was a blast. I mean, we actually almost missed it. We arrived 3 hours before the party because of flight delays. But, you know, there's just been something so powerful about coming home, and especially coming home to San Francisco. And despite traveling around the world, I mean, there's really no place like home, and there's no place like here. So we were on a high and hadn't slept in about 36 hours. just had a great start to coming home.
Oh, that's absolutely wonderful. And so you've been home a little while now. So how easy or hard has it been to integrate back into the routine of kind of everyday life?
Well, I have to say that the first couple of weeks were pretty rough. I mean, you go from having all the time in the world and, you know, it was a big deal for us to have one thing on our agenda every day, to all of a sudden, you know, you have to-do lists coming out your butt and you have a ton of social obligations. And, you know, you go from seeing... we went from seeing each other 24/7 to, you know, spending days apart. And I mean, granted, that's healthy. Every couple should do that. Hey, I don't actually know what you did all day long because I haven't seen you until tonight. So, yeah, that was an adjustment. And like, I have to say, like, it was a tough period for us, like relationally. I think when you have a big transition, you know, it's easy to fight. But I think after a couple of weeks, we've settled down, and now it's been like a month and a half. And so I think we figured out a routine. And I do think, like, while it's, you know, we're back at work and we're very busy nesting, but I think some things have shifted for us, too, in terms of how we prioritize life.
Hi, this is Katie Lang. Show your support for Joy. Call up and become a member.
And you're on Spirit Lounge on Joy, and you are with the priest, the pom, and the panelist, because the puff is in China. And that was one of my favourite tracks, Heather Small, who used to front the M People, and that is called Proud, which is one of the songs, one of the kind of major songs for the Olympics, and we love that. Now, last bit of the interview from the Out and Around girls, Jenny and Lisa.
The biggest shocker on the trip, and what was like the most enlightening experience?
You know, I still have to say I'm pretty surprised that Jenny proposed to me and beat me to it. The biggest shocker was having her propose and have a whole video made by all of my family at home supporting us. So that was when that was the biggest shocker for me on the trip.
Well, that's a gorgeous shocker.
And I think in terms of most enlightening, I mean, it's interesting. I was just going through some of our video footage for Chile because we're putting together a video for that. And, you know, I think the one thing about this trip is that you realize that it's just the people who change the world are just ordinary people that decide that they're just going to do something extraordinary. You know, like they are not necessarily more talented, more rich, more whatever. They just decide they're going to do something, and they're willing to make that a priority and, you know, and do that and live these extraordinary lives. And I think that's really inspiring Lisa and I, and, you know, we talk about that every day right now. It's just like, okay, we're home now, and it would be really easy for us to fill our schedules with, you know, what normal people do, like your regular social life. You go to work 9 to 5, you come home, you watch some TV, you know, tend your garden or something. And that's all great. And we want to do those things, but I think we're really striving to do something more, something beyond ourselves. That we're still trying to figure that piece out.
Yeah, it's about making a difference, isn't it? And giving something to the community. I think, you know, I was looking back over your website yesterday when I was doing some research, and you know, we've followed your journey with you for 12 months, which has just been such fun. And I think not only have you met normal people who are doing exceptional things, but many of them have actually almost put their lives at risk, haven't they?
I mean, especially in Africa, people have, you know, without a doubt, put their lives at risk. And I mean, that to me, like, just, I ask myself all the time, would I continue? Like, part of me just wanted to be like, come on, guys, out of here. So, yeah, it's just a different reality. It's a totally different reality. And I think we're so complacent here in the States or in the Western world, and we don't understand that the immediate danger for people who are just like us.
And so often as well, these people who have very little, are quite often very happy, and B, never give up hope, do they?
Yeah, I mean, it is amazing. And, you know, that's definitely been our experience meeting these people. And as we've come back, we were at the San Francisco LGBT Film Festival, and we watched this amazing documentary called Call Me Cuchu. And it was following the story of David Kato, the activist that was killed in Uganda. Yep. We didn't go to Uganda because it was so dangerous, but we met a lot of people in Kenya that knew David very well. And just, you know, I mean, the stories of these people that, despite the fact that one of their own brothers got killed, you know, they're pressing on.
Continuing to fight the cause. So what's next for you girls then? Books, movies, weddings? Come on, tell us.
We did just set a date for our wedding next June, so that's very exciting. We're really looking forward to it.
Congratulations. I assume you're tying the knot in San Francisco?
Yes, at a wonderful, kind of a gay town on the river, about an hour and a half north of San Francisco. Oh, it's perfect. A lot of gay tourists go there, so we're excited. And of course, it's also at a campground, which is very lesbian. I know, but we love that place.
And are you going on honeymoon afterwards?
I wish.
We will. We're kind of talking about that. I kind of want to do Central America. Lisa's ready to go posh and go to Europe. Like, let's press on with our out and around Europe.
Yeah, maybe we'll show up in Melbourne. That would be fun.
So that's fantastic news for June, girl. Congratulations. And yes, of course, you can come to Melbourne anytime for your honeymoon. The only problem with June is it is a bit wintery.
Yeah, that's true.
I know. So you have so much content and so much material and movies and stories. What's the idea? What are you going to do with your year of experience?
Yeah, this is something that we talk about every day. I mean, our goal has always been to tell the stories of the secret gays in whatever for Medium will help us reach the most amount of people as possible. So I think right now we're kind of focused on doing a film, whether, you know, and kind of we have over 120 plus hours of footage. So we've been talking to some producers and we're working on creating a film that we would love to get into the film festival circuit and really just get out to the community. And, you know, we really also think that the internet has been amazing because it allows us to reach people all over the world. And we're continuing to, you know, we still have a couple of stories that we've mentioned earlier that we're posting. We're keeping on with our blog, and we're going to continue writing of the stories of the Super Gays of our own journey. You know, and we're going to try to market our website even more broadly. For us, this is clearly not a money-making enterprise. This is really just a project that we believe passionate about, and we really feel like, you know, we want to do justice to the stories that we've heard, and we really want to do a good job with them.
Yeah, no, I mean, absolutely. And you know, all of these people who are striving to combat negative attitudes and change legislation and in these pretty much almost some third world countries, weren't they? And certainly second world countries. I mean, the exposure that you can give them with your website, with your stories, must just help, I guess.
Yeah, we're also looking for guest writers. So we'll put that out too. If you are traveling and you have a super gay that you want to write about, let us know.
Yeah, that's a really good idea. Really good idea. Fantastic. Well, for our listeners, if you've enjoyed following Jenny and Lisa for the last year, their website is outandaround.com. You can catch a whole 12 months of expedition on there. Girls, it's been fabulous to catch up with you again. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us.
Thank you so much for giving us this chance and for really following us this journey throughout the whole time.
Well, no problem. And we will look forward to seeing you in Melbourne at the Melbourne Queer Film Festival soon.
we have a guest room, so, you know, anytime you guys are around, please come.
Wow, that's very, very, very generous. Enjoy nesting.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Joy 94.9.
And you're on Spirit Lounge with Peter the Penalist. That was read so nicely by him and the Pom and the Priest. We've got a couple of messages here. Someone said, wonderful interview, insightful. Thank you for those comments. And Anne is very happy to have Bertie the Pom back.
Read the whole thing.
No, then. I don't know that I should. Just, you know. It says, just brings a different dimension to a great show with the rest of the brilliant team.
Oh,
isn't that nice?
That's my very biased wife, and I love you for sending an email. And thank you.
Welcome back, Anne, as well.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, she was
go.
With me on the trip.
Now, the Olympics on.
You betcha.
Have you noticed?
You betcha.
And now, my other half had a very good question about the Olympics. I was laughing about synchronized swimming, which I tend to. I'm sorry, but I can't take it very seriously. She said, how can they have one person doing synchronized swimming? What are they synchronized with?
Well, it can't have been synchronized then. It must have been solo swimming.
They call it synchronized swimming, and some of them have one person.
I think you're having a laugh, mate.
No,
as they say.
I'm not. They have two or three, and then they have five, and then they have a million of them. But they also have single.
Okay, well, if answers on a postcard, please. If you know the answer to that, please contact us.
I had a second question.
Oh no!
Oh no! Today I was.
I hate it when people watch the Olympics who don't understand sport.
I know. I was doing a course at on chaplaincy today, and we had some Buddhists and Sikhs and Muslims. Mm-hmm. It was really good. Mm-hmm. A whole variety of people there. And I said, why would they put the Olympics on during Ramadan?
Yeah, it's kind of odd, isn't it? That, you know, the last time it clashed with Ramadan was 1980 in Moscow.
Yeah.
But then the Russians probably don't care. But actually the Brits, being so multicultural and so multiracial and so multi-faith, it's interesting that it did clash with Ramadan. I don't know if that was an oversight or...
But Ramadan, they know years in advance when it's going to be on. So yeah. I don't quite get that. Because they can't eat... They're not meant to eat or drink during daylight hours, which is over there at the moment is from 4 a.m. to 9 p.m. That's a heck of a long time.
It's a long time not to... Are they allowed to drink water?
I think no, they're not meant to.
Nothing is meant to pass the lips. Wow, that's tough. If you're, I mean, I think if you're a strict Muslim, I think that is incredibly hard.
It almost writes you out of going to the games, doesn't it?
Well, it does. But actually, I love this story because some of them have obviously had to consult the scholars and they've been allowed to bend the rules a little bit, you know, because peak Olympian sporting moments are just as important, I would imagine, as your ongoing religious thing. But I love this story. The British rower, whose name is Mohammed Spihi, I think you pronounce it. It's a very difficult name. He consulted his local scholars who said, yeah, sure, we can kind of cut you some slack. But he's also agreed to feed 60 poor people in his father's homeland of Morocco for every day he does not fast during Ramadan. And I thought that's quite a cool trade-off, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, OK, if I'm going to allow myself to eat during daylight hours, I'm also going to feed other people. So I thought that was very charitable.
So he's probably quite glad that the rowing's finished.
well, no, because people in the villages in Morocco are starving again because the rowing's finished. Well, hopefully it's an ongoing thing now.
I'm sure there's others that are still taking in different sports.
You're right, because it seemed to be a bit of an oversight. And yet what they had planned for and is happening is that they've got multi-faith centres in the Olympic Village and the Olympic Park. They've got facilities for everyone to be able to pray five times a day or however often they need to pray. They've got amazing food halls which are providing everything from halal to vegetarian to you name the food. And it's 24/7. So when you can eat during the hours of darkness, if you're doing Ramadan, then there is food for you. And so they seem to have the facilities seem to be there for everyone's needs, except the dates clash with Ramadan. So maybe on the global sporting calendar, it just had to be these dates. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I wish someone would answer it. So we're going to continue with our theme of the Olympics, and we're going to play a song that was from the opening ceremony. And this song is called Abide With Me and is by Emily Sandy.
Precursed by Big Ben.
Yeah.
Joy 94.9.
And that was the haunting tones of Emily Sandy from the opening ceremony. What an amazing song that is.
She was, yes, now I remember who she was watching the opening ceremony, and she was awesome, and that was lovely to hear it again.
Yes, and that album's already out with the opening ceremony music on.
Love it, love it.
Yeah.
Anyway, we are at the end of the show.
Again.
Oh, it just flies by, doesn't it?
I know. Next week, we're going to talk to our panellists, about politics. Can you be spiritual and be a politician?
Peter the politician and the panellist. It just all rhymes here, doesn't it?
I know, we get rid of the poof and we get Peter the panellist, who's going to be a politician. So we're going to have a discussion around that. So if you want to join in next week, you can think up your questions and you can put them to him on the show next week. How's that, Peter? Are you worried?
I'm fine. That's perfect.
If he was worried about a few dodgy questions on Joy Radio and he wants to become a politician, I would seriously reevaluate your career strategy.
Definitely.
And we know what questions about his love life. We're not interested in that.
No.
We'll find out about that off air. So that's next week, and we're going to hand over to the next show, which is Catch Up. Yeah. And after these messages, we're going to finish our program with a track by Vita Adam, who is a Melbourne girl. And this track, appropriate, is called Running.
Another Olympic theme. Thank you for listening. Catch us next week, Tuesday, 8 o'clock. This is Spirit Lounge.
Goodbye.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with Joy.